Engaging. Thorough. Cutting edge with essential information. Unbiased and unfiltered. When it comes to the issues in your community, WZND is here. With detailed investigative pieces from the award-winning WZND news team, WZND's Bird's Eye View gives you in-depth information on the issues you need to know about. Recognized for excellence in long-form news by the Illinois Broadcasters Association, College Broadcasters Incorporated, and the Society of Professional Journalists, the Bird's Eye View starts now, only on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Bird's Eye View, Legalization in Illinois. I'm Sarah Feltis, and I am accompanied by my lovely news director, Marissa Navarro Lopez. We also have incoming news director Katrina Peterson here with us in studio, and we have a great show for you today. Today, we will be taking a look at how legalization of cannabis is going to affect Illinois and Bloomington Normal, how local authorities plan to regulate cannabis, and comparing our policies to other states as well who have passed it already. Maritza?
Alrighty, I'm really excited. I think this piece is going to be amazing. I'm really excited to see all of the pieces all of our team members made. We had some people speak to local police chiefs, council members, state representatives, and other experts as we approach legalization. All right, so after the break, we're going to take a look at how legalization will affect the communities around Illinois State University. This is 103.3 WZND's Bird's Eye View. Alrighty, welcome back to the Bird's Eye View. So we're starting off the show talking about how legalization of cannabis will impact the communities of Bloomington and Normal. Our very own Taylor Mentz took a closer look at how this bill will impact Normal. She spoke with Councilmember Karen Smith on how Normal has begun preparing for this change.
With cannabis becoming legal in less than a month, it's important to know how it will affect the area surrounding Illinois State University. The town of Normal specifically is working to prepare for the transition into the legalization. The Normal Town Council discussed zoning regulations last month. Karen Smith, a member of the Normal Town Council, expanded on the way the town will be able to bring in revenue through the passing of this bill.
Considering how much of an impact this might have for the community in generating sales tax revenue, because the recreational dispensary is the only cannabis business that provides an opportunity for local municipalities to generate revenue from these businesses.
Aside from the increase in revenue the town may receive, it's important for authorities to put regulations into place to keep the town safe. Councilmember Smith elaborates on the specific locations individuals may legally consume cannabis.
Here in Illinois, public consumption, except in a cafe, is not permitted. So if you see someone on the street, it should immediately come to the attention of the authorities, who would know that I have a right to pull this one over.
Although cannabis will be legalized soon, understanding the rules with public consumption is very important. Smith also mentioned that selling recreational cannabis in specific zones will have restricted stipulations for businesses.
The action taken to have these businesses be subject to special zoning continues the opportunity for public input and scrutiny over any decision before any business can actually begin the sale if they're approved or recreational cannabis.
Gaining knowledge on the guidelines for consuming and selling cannabis in a legal manner is key for the passing of this bill to be successful. Cannabis will officially be legal in Illinois on January 1st, 2020. For WZND and Bird's Eye View, I'm Taylor Mentz.
Thank you so much, Taylor, for such an amazing piece. Alrighty, so me and Sarah actually sent out a questionnaire to our council members to see where they stood on cannabis and the legalization of it and really passing it and opting in or opting out of sales. So, Sarah?
Yeah, so we had sent this questionnaire to the members of the Normal Town Council as well as the Bloomington City Council just to kind of get a gauge and idea of what our local town council members are saying. And I think out of the, 14 or 15 we sent out, we only got three responses from Karen Smith, Jen Carrillo, and Jamie Matthew. Jen and Jamie from Bloomington, Karen, who we just heard from Taylor's piece is from the Normal Town Council, and so we asked him questions like what their opinions are on their municipality allowing the sales, as well as their opinions on legalization. And it is important that we remember that no matter if these towns decide to opt in or opt out against sales, that it is going to be legal no matter what. And in our questionnaire, we left a section that, you know, asked what if they had anything else they wanted to say about cannabis. And Jamie Matthew from Bloomington responded, "It's already here. It's time to admit that, legalize it, and regulate it," which I think is very important. Some of our responses kind of got a really good mix of opinions on the sale of cannabis. We had four but with regulation, and against, and undecided. And of the three people who responded, we had one for four, another four but with regulation, and another one undecided. So it really seems that there's still a little bit of a toss-up in the air, but that's definitely something that all of us going, you know, forward should definitely pay attention to, is what the town councils decide moving forward with the sales or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking about Jennifer Carrillo, we actually had our very own Alfonso Cerna take a closer look at how this bill was going to affect Bloomington. So now we just spoke about Normal, but now it's time to see our other local town, Bloomington. So he touched on the marijuana task force Bloomington has implemented and other important factors Bloomington has been looking for.
Back in early September, the Bloomington City Council approved a request to establish a task force in preparation for next year's legalization of recreational cannabis use. The task force will include 10 members, consisting of city council, law enforcement representatives, business owners, an addiction specialist, and representatives among community groups, while all appointments will be made by Mayor Terry Renner. Councilmember Jennifer Carrillo believes the collaboration between council members, experts, and the community will help to create a smooth transition once cannabis becomes legal.
The purpose of the task force is to have a group of subject matter experts and consumers and residents sit down together along with council members so that it really is a collaboration between staff, elected representatives, and the public to evaluate what this policy will mean for our community and what are our best ways to adjust to a new reality.
On January 1st, 2020, recreational cannabis will be legalized for residents 21 years or older, allowing them to possess 30 grams for personal use, cultivation for patients of medical cannabis, and this will also expunge those in-state with any previous records for cannabis-related offenses. According to Carrillo, the legalization goes beyond just the recreational uses of cannabis.
This is not just a conversation about recreational cannabis use, but actually a major piece of legislation that has the potential to transform a lot of the neighborhoods that have been most affected by this issue.
One factor to keep in mind is the manufacturing zones for cannabis. Bloomington City Planner Katie Simpson explained there are certain requirements that need to be considered for this matter.
Other considerations, the impacts on the utilities. So you're going to want them to be located in areas that have the capacity for heavier type of manufacturing, but waste, chemicals, odor, number of employees.
The City of Bloomington will continue the preparation for the legalization of cannabis once it becomes official on January 1st, 2020. For WZND's Bird's Eye View, I'm Alfonso Cerna.
Thank you so much, Alfonso, for that piece. Now, I want to bring in Katrina, who has been our City Council beat reporter and has covered a lot of these meetings where cannabis has been discussed. Katrina, could you tell us a little bit about your experience?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me in the studio today. And I want to say it was a great opportunity to go to all these council meetings. And the council members, I think, really did their best to get public weigh-in. One thing I noticed at these public meetings is there's a lot of extremity. You're either really for cannabis or you're really against it. And one thing that most of Normal was concerned with was the property value, being that we're so close to Illinois State. They were also concerned with the odor and how that would affect our property values and what that would look like for people who are going to move into these communities. Bloomington was very concerned with the fact that there's going to be added costs to marijuana or cannabis, and the law aspect of it and police force and the added cost that comes with that. Another thing that they were concerned with was the tax revenue. You know, not a whole lot of local tax is going to be coming into Bloomington and Normal. A lot of the taxes are going to be going to the state. But a lot of the council members were discussing how it would be beneficial for the increased money flow and the tourism that comes with it. And it is already legalized, and they will be getting like a 3% sale tax. So overall, it was really nice to see, and they got a lot of good public weigh-in.
Absolutely, absolutely. Stick around for that. You surely don't want to miss any more. Coming up, we are going to be looking about the economic and policing aspect surrounding cannabis legalization. You're listening to 103.3 WZND Bird's Eye View.
More Bird's Eye View is here now, only on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Alrighty, welcome back. So if you're just joining us, we're talking about the legalization of cannabis. So while we talked about how this may impact the communities, one of the most important things to know is how the revenue may generate for the state and for Bloomington and Normal. Our very own Isaac Missel did a little bit of a research on the economic benefits to local municipalities.
Highly controversial, but awfully helpful, legalized cannabis will be put into effect at the beginning of the new year. But is it worth it? Economically, the change is expected to help the Illinois community like it has so many others. Executive Director Esther Franco Payne of the Cabrini Green Legal Aid, an intricate sponsor of the legalization of cannabis in Illinois, began a Q&A with Governor Pritzker with a call to equity that the bill is intended to answer.
From local taxes to public consumption, all with the goal of creating equity for the people and communities devastated by the legacy of the war on drugs. We look forward to exploring the possibilities and opportunities that this legislation creates for all of us here in the state of Illinois.
But for Governor Pritzker, it is not about the money coming into the state, but the impact it can have on the cannabis community.
It stands at the core of our objective to deliver long-term sustainable equity at every level of the cannabis market, whether you're a business owner, a craft grower, or a bud tender working at a good job that will support a family.
To do this, Pritzker vows that not only will his plan be effective, but different from how other states have handled legal cannabis in the past. Through social equity, Pritzker hopes to grow business in the state with new partners in order to broaden economic diversity.
No other state has developed a comprehensive plan to promote social equity. And because of that, we've seen a result in those states that we don't want here in Illinois, an industry that doesn't reflect diversity or equity. In Illinois, we're different. Our social equity applicants will be eligible for the 75 licenses that come online in just a few months, and they'll be able to get business loans to get off the ground, funded by the existing industry.
According to the Colorado Department of Revenue, since legalizing recreational cannabis in 2014, the state has seen nearly $1.2 billion in revenue from taxing, licensing, and fees related to the drug. But if this plan for Pritzker goes accordingly, it's business owners who will be feeling most of the effect. I spoke with General Manager Tito Perrins of Smoking Glass, a head shop in downtown Bloomington, about what he has seen so far and what he expects to come.
I think it's a great thing for the community in general, definitely good for our business. It's a change that I think needed to happen. We definitely expect to see a rise at the beginning part, just that it's accessible for more people, the fact that it is legal, just more widespread for everyone, and then hopefully that brings some more consistent customers to our place, just get our name out there, you know. We've already seen an increase with medical patients to our store, so if there's going to be more recreational users, we imagine that would increase as well.
For 103.3 WZND, I'm Isaac Missel.
Thank you, Isaac, for that piece on economics. And now, he did mention that he looked into some research from the state of Colorado and how, obviously, them being one of the first states who legalized cannabis, how that has had an economic impact for them. We are going to have more later on in the show about, you know, what's going on in Colorado, so stick around for that. But coming up next, our very own sports director, Hector Carrion, spoke to the chief of Illinois State University Police, Aaron Woodruff, on how the policing is going, how cannabis is going to affect policing here at Illinois State University.
Beginning on January 1st, 2020, the state of Illinois will allow the purchase, transportation, and consumption of cannabis by adults age 21 and older. Now, when the new year begins, residents of the state of Illinois will be allowed to possess up to 30 grams of cannabis flower, up to 5 grams of cannabis concentrates such as oils, and up to 500 milligrams of cannabis-infused products such as brownies and gummies. Although the residents of the state of Illinois will be allowed to recreationally purchase and consume cannabis, it still remains federally illegal and is listed as a Schedule I narcotic. It is for this very reason that Illinois State University will continue to abide by federal law, given that it is a federally funded entity, which makes policing the law challenging on campus. Illinois State University Police Chief Aaron Woodruff broke down how his department as well as the university plan on policing legal cannabis.
A lot of it doesn't change for our department, specifically because of the federal laws that's still prohibited on any university that accepts federal funding. So through our student financial aid programs, that puts that requirement in there.
If a student is found on campus with cannabis, the university rules will remain the same, and they will be sent through the student conduct process.
If you are under the age of 21, you would still be sanctioned through the state civil fine. If you're over the age of 21 and you possess it on university property or consume it on university property, you'd still be referred to the student conduct office.
Now, those with cannabis convictions on their record may be in some luck come the new year, as there are rules in place to allow some of these convictions to be thrown away.
Anybody that had a previous conviction for cannabis, there is some rules in place with the new law that would require the expungement of those cases.
Although recreational use of cannabis will be legal in 2020, the private growth and sale of cannabis will remain illegal, and consequences will come directly from federal law. For WZND's Bird's Eye View, I'm Hector Carrion.
Thank you so much, Hector. And you know, that was Hector's actually very last Bird's Eye View. It was great. He did a great job, and he always does a great job, and I can't thank him enough for all of his hard work. And Hector, if you're listening, we are definitely going to miss you down at the
office.
We're
so proud of you for all of your hard work you put in. Thank you so much for that great biv.
Yeah, it was amazing. And you know, good luck after graduation. Everything's going to go great, and we believe in you, and we'll be here rooting for you from the studio. But back to his piece, I thought it was really good. I think it's interesting. I know some people were like, oh, because it's going to be legal, it's going to be allowed on campuses. Absolutely not. Mm-mm. It's not allowed in the dorms the same way alcohol is not allowed in the dorms. It's not allowed on campus at all. We are a smoke-free campus, you know. So it's interesting to see what Aaron Woodruff had to say, you know, our chief, just to clarify that it just wouldn't be allowed. Something else I really liked from that piece is how he said there is some luck for people who have had some convictions. Some expungement could happen, I think, as part of the new bill. So I think that's actually really interesting and really just a great opportunity for some things that would have maybe ruined some, not lives, but like some people's records, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Because I think with the people who are sitting in jail with cannabis convictions, not only would the expungement help, you know, relieve people who are in jail for nonviolent crimes, but also help, you know, I don't want to say clean out our jails, but our jails are overcrowding in the state, which is a huge problem. You know, as a politics major, I have talked about this issue not too much in depth, but we have brought it up. And one of the main issues with that, the record expungement, is when people are convicted, it's a criminal offense, and now it's becoming a civil issue where people don't necessarily have access to lawyers to help them. But it looks like they are setting up, you know, not necessarily like foundations, but ways to help people who are in there who might not necessarily be able to afford counsel to try and, you know, make sure that they are getting out as soon as possible and getting those off their records.
Yeah, absolutely, which is great. So again, thank you so much, Hector, for an amazing piece. And stick around after the break where we're actually going to listen to the curator of the bill to talk about its impact on the state. You're listening to WZND's Bird's Eye View.
The Bird's Eye View continues now, only on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Alrighty, welcome back. You're listening to WZND's Bird's Eye View. So far we've talked about how legalization will impact the Bloomington Normal communities and the Illinois State University campus and the economics for the state and, you know, other states. So it's really interesting. However, I think it's really important to talk about the bill itself. And we actually had our very own Anthony Ferretti speak to State Representative Heather Staines. And Staines was one of the creators of the bill, along with Representative Kelly Cassidy. And she kind of talks about the process of making the bill, and they kind of brought it up a couple years ago. So we're going to take a look at that.
In less than a month, Illinois residents will legally be able to purchase cannabis. Back in June, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker signed a law to legalize the use and sale of recreational cannabis. While it's a fairly recent law, State Senator Heather Staines said that she's been working on this bill with Representative Kelly Cassidy for much longer.
We've been working on this bill itself for 2.5 to 3 years before we got it passed. So it was a significant period of time, and that was very intentional because it's a significant policy change, and we thought that merited a long discussion period throughout the state.
Senator Staines added that legalizing cannabis for recreational purposes is one way to make it a safer product to use.
We have around 800,000 people in Illinois who report using cannabis, yet just a very small number of people have a medical cannabis card, which means, you know, 95% or more of purchasing is happening on the illegal market.
In addition, Senator Staines said that the law should correct the wrongs that were put in our justice system by prohibition.
People of color are 7 times more likely than a Caucasian to get involved in the criminal justice system because of cannabis. So I think it's really rectifying some really historical wrongs that have been done through the failed war on drugs.
Her inspiration for creating this bill came from seeing that cannabis is a less harmful substance than products that are already legal, such as tobacco and alcohol.
It was really just starting to learn as I had to determine whether I wanted to vote to support medical cannabis pilot program, learning a lot more about it, that it's much less addictive and much safer than other products that are legal.
Illinois has now become the 11th state to legalize the use of cannabis. This law will officially go into effect on January 1st, 2020. For 103.3 WZND and Bird's Eye View, I'm Anthony Ferretti.
Alrighty, perfect. Thank you, Anthony Ferretti and Representative Staines, for taking the time to answer some questions. Representative Staines is a very busy woman, so we really appreciate her taking her time. And it's really interesting to hear about the process Representative Staines had to kind of go through for years as she proposed the idea, and her and how Representative Cassidy also worked together. So, again, thank you so much. But another important thing we want to know and really close out the show with is how this Illinois bill will compare to other states. And Sarah, you kind of took on that piece. Can you talk more about that?
Yes. So I had the opportunity to speak with a couple of students from Colorado State University who have covered, they are reporters at the Collegian TV station CTV 10 over at CSU, and we had run into them when we went to CBI last month in November, and we approached them about helping out with the story, and they are going to talk a little bit about their experience as reporters and students and what kind of they've learned from Colorado and how us in Illinois can apply those issues with the legalization of cannabis.
Starting January 1st, cannabis will be legalized for recreational use in Illinois statewide. Illinois will become one of 11 states, also including the District of Columbia, that have adopted laws legalizing recreational cannabis use. One of the first two states to legalize cannabis, Colorado, in many ways helped pioneer the movement nationwide. To get an idea of what Illinois can expect from legalization, I spoke with students from Colorado State University's Rocky Mountain Collegian CTV 11 on their experience as students and reporters covering cannabis in their community. News director Edgar Cedillo and anchor reporter Bella Roberts shared their experiences covering the topic as well as advice on what Illinoisans can expect and things to learn from Colorado. To obtain legal recreational cannabis in Illinois, it will have to be purchased through an authorized and licensed dispensary. Roberts, who has covered the cannabis beat for CTV 11, shared what you can expect when going to a dispensary for the first time.
So one thing you'll notice is security surrounding a lot of the dispensaries. So when you walk into a dispensary, you get your ID checked at the door to make sure you're 21. And then sometimes there's a waiting area where you'll wait to be called on before you can enter.
With the state facing a major budget crisis, the potential for tax revenues brought in from recreational sales have played a major role in the legalization process. According to a report by the Illinois Economic Policy Institute that used real numbers from the Colorado Department of Revenue as a source, projects that Illinois has the potential to earn upwards of $525 million in combined state and local tax revenue from recreational cannabis sales in 2020. Although this number is only an estimate, there is a potential to exceed that projection. According to Cedillo, when Colorado first introduced recreational use, expectations far exceeded projected totals.
Expectations exceeded it by a large amount. They projected it to be somewhat of a big thing, and within the first year, I think they met their goal within like the first months of it being legalized. So I think because the culture was so ready for cannabis to be legalized, I think it far exceeded, and it still continues to exceed expectations of the leadership in Denver.
With 33 states now allowing some sort of legal cannabis, the hope for some is that it will soon be legalized at the federal level as well. Whether you are for or against legalization, there are steps you can take to keep track and stay up to date on any new changes the legislators are making here on the state level and federally as well.
Definitely see how state government at the federal level kind of switches, how attitudes with politicians change. See how your state politicians advocate it for or against in Washington, too.
For WZND Bird's Eye View, I'm Sarah Feltis.
Thank you, Sarah, so much for such an amazing piece. All right, so I know you spoke to some students. Can you talk more about what the process was like?
Yeah, so back in about a month ago, as I was kind of explaining earlier, we had gone to a convention down in St. Louis, College Broadcasters Incorporated, CBI, and I met with a group of them from CSU over there. I was explaining to them about the story I was doing, and they were really awesome, wanting to, you know, help out. And so I just want to, you know, give a special thanks again to Edgar Cedillo, the news director over at CB10, Bella Roberts, an anchor over at CB10, and Ryan Christ, the executive producer. He was really helpful in trying to get us, you know, in contact with everybody else. So I want to give a special thanks to them. I cannot do it without you. And it's also really, you know, interesting to interview other students because, you know, as reporters and as journalists, often we're going and talking about, you know, people and, you know, their different ways of life. But to interview someone who has been in our shoes and understands where we're coming from brings a different dynamic to it all. And I think it was a really fun piece to do. And I really enjoy talking to them over in Colorado. Awesome, you know, network experience as well to get that, you know, experience. So I had a lot of fun of it. And with this being my last show at ZND, I will, you know, be stepping down come next semester. It's one of the pieces I'm probably most proud of having done here, and could not do it without all of them at CTV 11 in Colorado. So thank you guys so much. If you're watching, I appreciate your help. And yeah, it has been an awesome ride here
at ZND
and Bird's Eye View.
It's been great, and again, having you speaking to those students is great just because they're going through something that we're going to be going through soon, you know, so it's really cool that you had that angle. That's something you could, like, ask some questions about things that we might be experiencing as journalists ourselves. But yeah, Sarah, thank you so much for being, like, such a great insight and, like, helping me. I know we always freak out before these shows, and you really, like, keep it together for me because I always panic. But again, we want to give a huge thanks to our Bird's Eye View team for working so hard on their pieces. We also want to thank the staff of ISU, students, and members of the community for being on the show, as well as the people Sarah just thanked as well. So if you've missed any part of this show, you can catch it online at WZND.com. And make sure you tune in next semester for the next Bird's Eye View, where we will have Katrina Peterson, our new news director, on, and we will have Anna Marie Shaw, our new producer, on. So thanks again, Sarah, so much.
You're welcome. You're great. I'm very glad to be a part of this.
Yeah.
It has been a journey.
Perfect.